You're listening to Divorce Literacy with the Divorce Lending Association, a divorce podcast where we dig deep into issues of divorce that center around the marital home, other real property, and divorce mortgage planning, helping divorcing homeowners and their divorce team make more informed decisions regarding home equity solutions during and after divorce.
For joining us today, Dr. Beth Karasik is joining us. Beth is a licensed mental health professional and clinical psychologist. She specializes in discernment counseling, mediation, and collaborative divorce. So thank you for joining us, Dr. Karasik. A few of your memberships that you were part of, I thought I'd highlight them because they're vast and prominent. You're a member of the International Academy of Collaborative Professionals. Mm-hmm. You are a co-board chair for the Connecticut Council of Non-Adversarial Divorce. You are the president of Divorce Solutions of Connecticut, a collaborative group in Connecticut. Mm-hmm. And you're also a member of another collaborative group called the Collaborative Divorce Team of Connecticut. So quite a list of accomplishments there. And we're super, super happy to have you.
Okay, thanks. Thanks.
Yeah. We'll get right into the questions. I know that each divorce that you work with, each client situation is very unique. If you could change anything or give any advice to somebody that is kind of starting down the road and probably a little bit scared, what would that be?
Okay. Yeah. You kind of clarified it a little bit by saying probably scared, because people enter into this at such different places.
Yeah.
You know, some people are coming here like it was their idea. Like they're like, you know, I want to get divorced. And other people are at a point of shock or surprise about something. So I guess particularly for those who are upset, like at that end of things, I mean, I think it's difficult for people, even if they know or think that they want it.
Sure.
But basically what I would say is to, first of all, like keep breathing. And really, really there's a period of just kind of absorbing the blows, like just absorb the blows. Like it's a terribly disconcerting time. I've been divorced myself. It's a very discombobulated and, you know, maybe not sleeping or not, whatever. There's a whole roller coaster of emotions and everything. So really what I tell people that they're at a place where their molecules are realigning, right? I mean, depending on the length of the marriage or anything, like really that whole like separating and how to accomplish that. So basically it really is that, like, to breathe, just absorb things.
It's a trauma. It's a trauma, right?
Really? Yeah. Really for many, many people.
Yeah.
Right. Some couples, you know, they had a conversation, they spoke, they're in agreement, they move through it, communicating, but that's actually pretty rare in my experience.
Yeah.
So just molecules are realigning. I guess a really practical recommendation, a thing I'd say is to keep everything in one place, like organize, like all the papers or anything you look into or anything, anybody you're calling or looking up online, to just keep things in one place and let it be and put it aside sometimes so that you can really, you know, be with people who are supporting you and just, you know, keep yourself as level-headed. You talked about trauma.
Yeah.
So, I mean, people, we do not do our best thinking when we are upset or hurt. You're scared, and really a divorce is like a threat to our survival.
Yeah.
Sometimes really literally, like money is very tight and all of that, and sometimes emotionally, and it's just, you know, as a neuropsychologist, I really am tuned into that or very aware of or think a lot in terms of like that trauma and the stress response and how people respond. So, you know, give yourself some time and just keep one step, one foot in front of the other, and yeah, just keep breathing and listening. And
excellent advice.
Yeah.
Get out and breathe the fresh air and listen to the birds and
now
try to relax.
Yeah, it's easier to do that, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The upside of a springtime divorce, I guess.
What's that?
Is it the upside of a springtime divorce?
Yeah. If there is an upside, yes. Anything that you'd recommend for somebody that is looking for a mental health professional? Somebody might not know that they need a mental health professional in the process. What might you recommend for somebody who's thinking about it?
So that's also various threads to that question. So a mental health professional can have various roles when someone's confronted moving into a divorce. So on the one hand, there's having a therapist, like no matter what way you're divorcing, whether in court litigating or choosing a non-adversarial divorce in mediation or collaborative, you know, there's always that role for a mental health professional to be a therapist, to be helpful moving through this, you know, difficult time, or some people already are in therapy. And then there's the role as a mental health professional that we would have on in a non-adversarial divorce for people who are divorced in that way, either as a mediator or co-mediator. And, you know, then of course, as a neutral mental health professional on a team of collaborative professionals. So, but the advice about how to choose, I would say is, well, again, if you're moving toward a non-adversarial divorce, I'm not even sure if that's like what we're focused on.
Yeah. Or not. Yeah, okay, okay. Absolutely.
So if you're, with the choice of a non-adversarial divorce, I'd say that you want someone who's been really actually trained, has training in mediation and collaborative practice, or the collaborative practice of for divorce and separation. So you want someone who actually has the training. On the one hand, I'd want to say you want someone who's experienced. On the other hand, I don't want to cut out, you know, newly trained people who can have a lot of talent and a lot of ability, and especially in a collaborative team, a collaborative divorce. I think that there's a team of other professionals that can balance with experience. So I'm kind of mixed on that in terms of what to say. I think plenty of newly trained people can be really talented and really helpful.
Absolutely.
I think people you want to be comfortable. You want to be comfortable and be able like to just that, like be sure that you can look someone in the face, like really speak comfortably with someone. And
so have a good connection with the people that you're going to be working with.
Yeah. I mean, that's all best. Any relationship, I mean, that's best. But.
Absolutely. Can you talk a little bit more about your role in a mediation or in a collaborative divorce, the role that you've kind of fit into?
Sure. So in mediation, okay. So people can go to mediation to be divorced. And in that context, what they're doing is each of the people in the couple is going to a neutral mediator, who often is an attorney. There are other professionals who can be mediators. A psychologist or a mental health professional can be trained in mediation and mediate the divorce, but there are some limits there where an attorney would have to be involved. I mean, there's other stuff to that story, but an attorney would have to be involved to actually write up the settlement agreement.
Sure.
So, and I primarily, when I've mediated, have co-mediated with an attorney. I think actually you spoke to Louis Zito. We've done many co-mediations together.
Yes. Yeah.
So my role there is to be a neutral, like there's not blame, there's not fault. There's really just being able to understand and listen to people and really help them identify and us all keep in mind, this is true in mediation or collaborative, what their real interests are, like what really matters to them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's very concrete, like I really want to stay in the house. And sometimes there's more underneath that in terms of, you know, what they need or want. So really in both cases, collaborative or mediation, it's to listen, understand what matters most to people, be able to understand the whole picture of like their life or their lives and how it'll be into the future. I mean, so in co-mediation, there's that team where you have another person where there's usually four eyes and four ears to listen, which is helpful. And in a collaborative team, there are the two attorneys. And when there's a full team, there's the two spouses or partners, the two attorneys, one for each of them, a financial neutral, and also a mental health professional neutral. And then, of course, people like you are sometimes brought in for consultation and information. So my role there is, again, very similar in terms of being neutral. There are some models that each person has their own, like divorce coach or family specialist. But in Connecticut, it seems to be very standard that there's one mental health professional. So I'm there to help keep things on track, to really notice and intervene if there are breakdowns in communication. How someone's kind of managing and handling themselves and the emotions that come up, the team itself, the professionals, and how we're speaking to each other and how we're putting our heads together to help people move through it smoothly. So there's really
a lot of people involved to help the divorcing clients through the process.
To
help them through that trauma that we were just talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. A lot of support, people who are experts or have expertise in the specific, like the three-legged stool.
Yep.
Stool kind of like financial, right? Emotional or relational, sure. And then the legal aspect, of course, because marriage is a contract.
All right. Tell me which aspect of the divorce process you enjoy the most.
Which aspect of it?
Is it mediation? Is it the collaborative process?
I see. Okay. Depends who I'm working with, but I really enjoy the collaborative where there are just people that just sitting at a table for people to just really, you know, be clear and get clear about what matters to them. That happens in mediation also, but I really appreciate like each person's contribution, like having a financial person there, like actively involved. So I just really appreciate and value, and I've really come to, you know, be inspired in a way by different people's knowledge, other people's creativity, like to try to creatively come up with something. So that's just a little bit more like active or more going on that way.
Sure.
And collaborative.
I like that.
So
good.
I love
very good.
Doing
I'm sure you've worked on thousands of cases potentially. Are there any that are super memorable for you, whether it's negative or whether it's positive?
Well,
something that you can share, obviously.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing that no identifying information or anything.
Okay.
So, well, when it kind of hurts or it's negative, I mean, there was a case where it was so difficult for one of the spouses to even be in the same room. This became more and more evident as the case went on.
Mm-hmm.
And it really ended up where we were basically doing shuttle diplomacy. Like one person was in one room and we'd go over there and then we'd go back to the other spouse in the other room. And none of us felt good about that. And we did see it to its end. And we weren't sure that that was really what was best for everybody. So it's really sad or concerns us when things break down in that way.
Yeah.
And I guess the exact maybe opposite is what's memorable is those people who, despite like the pain and the fear and the anger, betrayal, or everything that everybody they might be going through, like those people who are still able to sit with each other, oftentimes, maybe more often it's when children are involved, like for this kind of higher concern about their children's well-being.
Yep.
But not always with children involved, but just they're willing to be there with each other, two human beings who are making this choice and find a way to speak to each other so that they can make some choices and decisions together, despite all of what's going on for them, I just really think is extraordinary.
Yeah, that must be really rewarding.
Yeah, it's great to see that and to help facilitate that when we can. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for sharing those.
Yeah. Sure.
If somebody listening were interested in reaching out to you, Beth, and getting in touch to talk more about your services and the process, where would they go to do that?
Okay, just like literally? I mean,
Your phone number, email address, what's your preference?
I mean, my main office is in Cheshire, although I really, we have a couple of other locations, and I also go to other professionals' offices during a divorce.
Okay.
I drive around different places.
Yeah.
But the number is 203-271-3809. And then the website's kind of cumbersome. It's
We're gonna put the website below the video.
And CCND's website is even easier, and both of them have a profile and everything. But
okay, wonderful.
Sure, good.
Yeah,
good.
So if anybody wants to reach out to you, we'll put your contact below, phone numbers, email addresses, the whole gamut there. Anything you would like to leave with us today for our listeners?
I guess just a plug for really going after pursuing a non-adversary divorce, like not putting yourself right in the middle of a courtroom and doing that, and being able to come and find professionals that you're comfortable working with to help you through this, you know, kind of very transitional time. And it does pass. The pain passes, right? It changes, it morphs.
Yes.
And it does, it takes some time, but there's an evolution that gets you out to the other side.
Wonderful. Yeah. Dr. Beth Karasik, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Okay. You're welcome. Thanks, Mark.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening to Divorce Literacy. Discover more strategies and solutions on divorce mortgage planning at divorcelendingassociation.com.